The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back for a look at the Premier League weekend after a very good midweek of Champions League action. Good tips as well from the guys on the midweek version of this podcast. But we're not the sort to dwell on our past glories, are we, guys?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, we are. good tipping all round then. Let's crack straight on with the Premier League weekend, starting off with the TV game. There's no lunchtime TV game. We're looking at a 5:30 start is the first one on our radar, and it's a cracker as well. Norwich versus West Ham. Norwich are 8-5, the 9-4 is the price for the draw, and 17-10 the price for West Ham United. Norwich in the bottom three with 8 points from their 10 games so far. West Ham just 2 points better off with 10 from their 10. West Ham's form looks positively decent compared to Norwich's, though. I mean, they had a 0-0 draw against Villa, a 0-0 draw at Swansea, lost to City, but beat Tottenham, of course. Norwich are in, well, pretty much in free fall at the minute, Ron. Away from home, for sure. And even at home, they've got no winning three at the moment. Lost to Villa, to Chelsea, and drew 0-0 with Cardiff. And that seven-goal mullering must be still... Still weighing heavy on their shoulders a little bit going into a game like this. They need a result here in Norwich, don't they?
They do, but I mean, before you said this was on telly, I didn't know it was on telly. Oh, no. Well, it does some going out anyway, so that'll be easy. It's a draw, isn't it?
It looks that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a draw, and it's just sorting out whether it's a no-score draw or a one-all draw. That's what I think, anyway. I think it's a nap draw. Even looking down, I thought it was the biggest certainty on the coupon, this.
Ron, it's not just a draw. It's a 0-0 draw with no shots on target, no shots off target. You know, if ever you're going to go short on a 0-0 draw, this is the game to do it. Hill should be about 4-1 for a 0-0 draw here. And they haven't cut it. It's still 8-1. Madness. Absolute madness.
The only thing against that, it's once again one of those quirky things. And eventually one of the teams must score, mustn't they?
No. No, they don't want to. West Ham don't want to. They'll be happy. Under that clown, they'll be happy to draw a 0-0 every game. It'll probably keep them up. You know, Ron's right, that's the reservation. Sooner or later, these sides have got to score, haven't they? But you say that, but Norwich looking capable of it, and West Ham just look unwilling to have a go at scoring. Mm, you know,
yeah. No.
The under 1.5 goals again, Lee, which I always think they always take a risk on that. It's over 2-1 now. So at least even then, you might get a deflected own goal or something. You still got that on your side.
1-1 is 11-2.
And the draw was 9-4, I thought you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have a little bit of a think about it. I'd certainly go for a draw, and Derek's under 2.5 goals, so that comes into play, doesn't it?
The thing with West Ham, if you take it from West Ham's point of view, they're just very good at going away and trying to shut up shop against the teams that they should be able to do. I mean, they stopped Southampton scoring, Hull did score against them, they stopped Tottenham scoring, they stopped Swansea scoring, and Burnley. I mean, let's be fair to Burnley, they're very confident team scoring lots of goals, so they don't concede virtually any goals away from home. They stopped Newcastle scoring as well, and he's conceded one away goal all season, West Ham, and they've been to some fairly decent places.
Yeah, well, Norwich not to score, 12-5.
They scored against Chelsea, didn't they, at home? Scored against Southampton, put 6 past Bury in the cup, scored 2 against Everton, so they have shown that they are capable, I suppose.
That's why I think at some given time there's got to be a score draw in there somewhere. I mean, no score looks the standout one. I think I might just go for a one-all draw.
Yeah, 11-2. Yeah, we talk about these offers that William Hill do, by the way, and there's one here that might work for you if you're worried about the 0-0 and you want to back either another correct score like Ron. So if you bet Ron's 1-1 and it ends up 0-0 with this bore draw insurance money back thing, you get your stake back on that bet. So if you bet your 1-1 ends in 0-0, you get your money back anyway.
Well, that's great. Yeah,
it is good. I mean, you're not getting paid out on the 0-0, obviously, but it just gives you a bit of insurance against it, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, on that one. So that's all the terms and conditions are on the website. It's up to 50 quid. It comes back as a free bet, etc. So I won't bore you with the terms and conditions, but check them out yourself if you're going to take advantage. So you're going to go 0-0, Derek, anyway.
Yeah,
you
no
think it will be
it.
Yeah,
no goal,
or the under 1.5, and Ron, 1-1 for you.
Yeah,
fair enough. Three games on Sunday, should be a good day if you're sitting in front of the telly. Tottenham versus Newcastle is the first of them. 1-2 Tottenham, Newcastle 5-1, and the draw is 100-30. The respective form, pretty hard to pin Newcastle's down, if we're being honest. They beat Chelsea 2-0. They drew 0-0 with City in the cup and lost an extra time. Lost 2-1 to Sunderland. drew 2-2 with 10 men against Liverpool, beat Cardiff away from home, lost to Everton away, beat Leeds, lost to Hull, beat Villa, beat Fulham. I mean, go and pick one. I guess with Tottenham, you do know that they play in a certain way. They're not particularly full of goals, Derek, are they?
No.
Although they have started to score a couple more of late. It's so hard to pick this. Can you back Tottenham at 1-2?
Well, by the same token, could you back Newcastle at 5-1?
They're not big enough.
It's a feature of the Premier League this season. Mm. Your odds, the Hill's odds, the big price away teams. You don't get them anymore. People might say on the basis of their performance against Chelsea, Newcastle are worth a bet here. No, definitely not. I think they'll find Tottenham a tough nut to crack. And, you know, Tottenham, they conceded last night against that shower, but they weren't really interested. And in the only goal they conceded in the five other games before that was against Hull in the 1-1 draw in the League Cup. So, you know, they're not conceding anything. Yeah, I think Tottenham are good things here. I really do. They battered Newcastle the last four visits to White Hart Lane, and they'll do it again. 1-2 Tottenham for me.
Yeah, Colaccini's been past fit. He's recovered from the injury that kept him out the last three games. That's a big boost for them at the back, Ron, isn't it? They'll need that. Cause, I mean, Tottenham don't score many goals, but they work you, don't they? They work an opening, don't they?
I actually think, I've tried to look through all the results this week, all the fixtures, and there looks a lot of what you'd call predictable results. I'm not saying scores or whatever. So there's got to be some sort of surprise in there somewhere. Mm. I just wonder whether it might be this. You know, I would be tempted at I got more time for Newcastle than most people, because I think on any given day they can beat teams.
Yeah.
And at 5-1, I'd be tempted to back them in this.
Mm-hmm.
I really would. I mean, they didn't half do well against Chelsea. We've seen them on three or four occasions this season where they haven't half done well. And I keep going back to that old one about when they've got their team out, they've got a load of very decent players. And it might just suit Mike Ashby to win this one, being a Tottenham Hotspur fan. So I might call this the little shock of the day, if you like.
Yeah, 5-1.
Maybe shock of the day.
Yeah.
5-1. Now, I'm amazed at Derek's analysis of that, because Derek has always been a 3-1 man or whatever, or in the Premiership, that you should always be looking at the away side.
Yeah, but that's when you're playing, you know, teams like, you know, teams below the top bracket, Ron. I used to be the top three, but I've expanded that a bit more, because I think there's five or six teams way above anybody else now.
Are they in that top bracket at the moment? I know they're close, and I'm just trying to balance out 5-1. 5-1 is probably about right, isn't it, in a sense, because you want more, but Tottenham aren't to be trusted necessarily, are they, yet?
Well, they're in the top four. They're higher than Manchester City, and you wouldn't be back in Newcastle.
Fair.
You know,
I wouldn't. I'd hold my hand up on that. But you know, Man City can run amok and get.
Yeah.
And they did with Newcastle earlier, didn't they? They can get four goals. Can they get four? For all their players, creative players, can they get four goals?
Yeah, that is a point, but they don't need it, do they? They don't need four, do they?
Well, but they've got some sharp players up front as well.
Mm.
Now, I'm just going on the odds. I'll bet, even though they've taken four batterings off them, I bet they've never been 5-1 going to White Hart Lane for a while.
Probably not.
Probably longer.
Probably. Do you think?
Yeah.
I think
they will have been, Derek. I tell you what, I mean, the teams that are normally over that price are sort of, well, you know, the promoted teams and things like that, aren't they?
I'm looking. You know, I'm used to seeing like big for these 14-1s and 10-1s and stuff like that.
It was a whole promotion side, and maybe Swansea when they first came up, and people like that.
But Newcastle, Ron, were nearly relegated last season. You know, and they're not pulling up trees this season, are they?
Before they finished fifth, you know, and everybody looked at them last season and went, "Oh, that is the surprise of the season." Because the year before, they nearly finished fifth. They finished fifth.
Yeah, I know.
Just looking at their away record, I don't know if that includes a League Cup in there, but they've won about three out of the last five away, haven't they?
Mm, yeah.
One might have been at Cardiff, and you've got to go there and win.
Yeah, Villa, yeah.
That's tempt me. 5-1, and, you know, as I say, I think Newcastle can always pull a surprise one out the back, so I'm just have a little fancy for Newcastle maybe doing this one.
Soldado to score and Tottenham to win is one of the headline offers. That's 6-4. And Remy to score and Newcastle to win is 9-1. I suppose if they're going to win,
yeah,
it's likely that he scores. He's the favourite to score for Newcastle. 11-4 anytime. What are you going for then, Derek?
Tottenham 1-2. Yeah. Being every one of my bets this weekend.
And your man Gylfie Sigurdsson 15-8 should he play to score any time in the game. Let's have a look at the 2:05 game. It's the other North East club, Sunderland, and they're playing another one of the title challengers, Manchester City. At home, 13-2 the price for Sunderland, 15-4 the draw, and Manchester City are 2-5. Well, while all the Champions League action was going on, Sunderland were booking their place in the next round of the League Cup at the expense of Southampton. Passed a lot of people by this one. Bardsley and Larson got the goals. There were two up when Yoshida pulled one back for Southampton with a couple of minutes to go. Man City on Tuesday night were beating CSKA Moscow as predicted. They did concede though, so that remember that bet about Man City to win and both teams to score did pay out at a much nicer price than the odds on they were to beat the Russians. It's just that away form though, Ron, isn't it? I mean, I know, you know, Sunderland aren't much to shout about, but they have just recorded their second successive home win, both 2-1. Confidence may just be coming back.
Well, will it give them a lift? The two results there will certainly give them a lift. Mm. But I think if Manchester City are going to have any sort of pretensions, I mean, they went to West Ham, didn't they, and demolished West Ham with a great performance.
Yeah.
And, I know what you're saying about Sunderland. You think that, it was the year before. And you remember when kick of the match? They beat them there, didn't they? And... But I think Sunderland might have won last year. Did Tevez do something?
Sunderland beat them 1-0, didn't they? Yeah, Johnston scored against them.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they got a 3-3 draw there in... is that the one you're talking about? No,
they beat them. They
got a 3-3 draw at City. Beat them in January 2012 as well.
Sunderland have won the last three matches.
I'll tell you when they beat them, just after Martin O'Neill had been there. The last kick of the match, City had battered them, and right at the last kick of the match...
Dong Won Gi,
he went around the keeper with the last kick of the match and scored.
Yeah.
So, but... To be fair, his company's not back, is he?
I don't think he is. No.
That's the only reservation. But are those two suspended players?
Suspended, Ron. Yeah.
Are they still suspended?
Yeah, Catamol and Desena. Yeah.
Oh, so they got more than one match then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The midweek would have taken them out.
Yeah.
Once again, I'd have to go for City with the firepower City have got. Yeah, I take on board what you're saying, that they will be a more confident side than they were two or three matches ago. But you look at the firepower of City and you can't see past it, can you, really?
No, not the way. I mean, you know, Aguero and Negredo have suddenly muscled their way into this debate of as to the best front two. Changes week by week, Derek. On this week's form, you'd have to say it's Aguero and Negredo, wouldn't you? And, you know, you're getting some... We talked about the away goal scorer prices in midweek. And, you know, Negredo, even money to score here. 8-13 for Aguero. Arguably the best striker in the Premier League this week.
Yeah.
Dzeko, even money. You know, but it does change week to week, doesn't it? Because we've got such quality players. But if he plays Aguero, I'd rather back 8-13 him to score than the 2-5 City to win.
Did you notice Bixley for the last three seasons? I don't know how. I'm looking at statistics here and I'm rubbing my eyes in disbelief. Sunderland have won 1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
It's crazy, isn't it?
How on earth has that gone on?
I know.
It ain't going to happen this week, that's for sure.
Yeah. Darren Bent got one. As Ron mentioned, Dong Won Gi got one. And we said, didn't we, that Johnson got one as well. It's a crazy, crazy stat, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you trust it, Derek?
No way. Not in a month.
Why? You wouldn't have trusted it last year, would you?
No. But
or the year before.
Yeah.
20-1.
I tell you, my vision of last year was Tevez missing about three sitters.
Mm. They would have to have a terrible day in front of goal and the keeper have an absolute stormer, wouldn't they? 20-1 for 1-0 for the same thing that's happened.
The trouble with City is, should they have won at Cardiff? Should they have won at Villa Park? And they didn't.
Yeah.
That's what would worry you. Who's the other one they lost?
They've lost at Villa, Cardiff. They drew 0-0 with Stoke and lost to Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea.
All the way from home, of course. With Chelsea, you know, you can forgive them that.
Yeah, and they were possibly the better team at Chelsea, by the way.
They were the better team, yeah.
And they're probably the better team in all three of those defeats. But, you know, when you've got chances at the back like they've got... You know, I worry. Anyway, but I can't for the life make a case for Sunderland, so it's got to be Man City.
Yeah,
the City for me as well, man. If you don't want to back the 2-5, City the only team to score. In other words, they'll win without Sunderland scoring. 13-10.
Yeah, and Aguero to score in a Manchester City win, 10-11. Looks. I know you've got two things that need to go for you, but both pretty likely, to be fair. You could do with it being a little bit bigger. Let's have a look at arguably the game of the weekend. This is Manchester United versus Arsenal. As soon as I think of this game, I think of Martin Keown, Ruud van Nistelrooy. When you see the pictures online, you know, when you saw it was pretty, it was funny, but a little bit unsavoury. When you see the still pictures online now, I don't know what was going on with Martin Keown. He looks like a maniac, doesn't he, when he's goading Ruud van Nistelrooy. Obviously, he's one of the fixtures in the Premier League over the the past few decades, and for a long time, it's been Manchester United's kind of game. Well, Arsenal have got a real opportunity here, but still the bookies don't make them favourites. Man United get that honour, 23-20, 5-2 the draw, and Arsenal are priced up at 9-4. This time last week, I guess, or just before, everyone was saying that we're Arsenal flat track bullies. Then they beat Liverpool, then they beat Borussia Dortmund in Germany, and suddenly everyone's saying, actually, can they win the title after all this? It's a big game again, isn't it, Ron? You know, Man U, probably almost a bigger game for them because they need to win this rather than not lose it, Man United. Arsenal could probably go there and not lose and it'd still be a favourable result for them.
Yeah. I think everybody would say if Arsenal went there and drew that, it's a better result for Arsenal. Depending on how the game goes, of course. If they're 2-2 and drew 2, it's not. But looking at now, if you go there, if they went there and drew, nobody's going to say that is a bad result for Arsenal. They might just say United have slipped up. Do you know what score stands out to me on this one? If we'd have been talking about this 2 weeks ago, we might have had an entirely different sort of take on it. For some reason, the two things about Arsenal, the fact the two performances they give have been terrific performances, you know. They've been very, very... I mean, I thought Liverpool would have made a better show, but they swept Liverpool off the park, really, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they stood the ground. They had one or two bits of luck, which you're always going to have, but I think they earned the luck in Germany, and they were brave enough to have a go at them as well. They'd had a few situations of their own before that. So it's the performance level that's impressed me, and I just got a sneaking feeling on this one. The safe bet is definitely the draw, but the odds ain't great, are they? 5-2.
Yeah, bigger than Arsenal, though, aren't
they? Yeah, bigger than it normally is, Ron.
Yeah. Is it a bigger price?
Yeah, usually you get it. I mean, you look down the list and... well, actually, I say that and it's...
I'm very tempted to go for a 2-1 Arsenal, but I think the safe bet is the draw, I think.
10-1 for the 2-1. And the draw is 5-2.
For some reason, it's a standout result for me, 2-1.
You could play about. I mean, you're effectively saying that you don't think Arsenal will lose, so you could have you could split your stakes on those two. Bit of, the draw. Your main stake on the 5-2, and a little bit on the 2-1, just in case.
What about Carrick? Will he be fit or what?
They're saying that he's remaining a doubt, but if he's got a chance, he'll play. Basically,
yeah. Ashley Young's out with the bends.
By the way, I did think he got fouled, you know.
Oh, come on, Ron.
He did get touched, didn't he?
Tell you can have any player in the game, and it's an old... I've said this many times. I'd be the world's worst referee, because I'd let them kick hell out of each other. But I will say this. I could tell when somebody was diving and when somebody wasn't.
Are you saying he didn't dive?
I think he took a tumble, but I think he was helped on his way to a tumble.
He did get touched, though, didn't he?
Well,
if you're a defender and you put your arm across an attacker in the box,
no.
you've got to be putting yourself into danger as a defender. I'm not talking about Ashley Young.
Listen, Lee, if it's all these pundits who come out with that crap, there was contact, so he was entitled to go down.
Look at the speed he was going down.
If only women could be so easily persuaded. I mean, it's those people who say this on the TV nowadays are given carte blanche to the cheaters and the divers, and they're ruining the game. I mean, even Man United fans are embarrassed. Every Man United fan I've talked down to this week has been embarrassed by him.
Qualify why that is, though.
Yeah,
because he's having a nightmare as a player.
Yeah, I know.
If that was Ryan Giggs or if that was Rooney or somebody that was on fire, they'd be saying, "Oh, touched." A little story once again. He's telling me about Palmer. He said he used to play against Alan Shearer, who would give him all sorts of... now, Alan Shearer, nobody ever thinks of... He'd give him all sorts of verbal. And he'd get locked up for what he used to say to him. And he'd say, "And by the way, if you touch me, I'm going to tell you now I'm going down."
God, yeah.
You know, he'd tell the referee, he said, "Ref, if he keeps tackling me from behind, I'm going down."
Yeah.
Well,
it's fair enough if you're getting clattered, by Carlton Palmer. But if you're getting breathed on, I'm sorry, you should have been booked for descent.
Yeah. He said, you're not bad, that. I like that one. That's not bad, that. Could well make Thursday's dinner.
just looking back through the head-to-heads between these two at Old Trafford, last time Arsenal won at Manchester United was way back, September 2006. When Adebayor scored with 4 minutes to go, a 1-0 win.
I thought you were going to say it was that time when Wiltord scored.
Wiltord won the league for him, didn't
he? God, yeah. Was that 2002 then?
Yeah, I think Man United won 9 of the last 11.
Yeah. Amazing record, that, isn't it?
They're a poor price, United, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Bearing in mind where they are at the moment in terms of form.
And the way they're playing. You come to a match, there are three possibles, but I would rule out that Man United win at those odds. And I'm not saying it won't happen, of course it could. But I wouldn't be tempted by those odds. But the draw is a bigger price, and I don't think Arsenal will, it's hard to say because Arsenal are a cavalier team, but I think Wenger's got something about him, and he'll say, well, as long as we don't lose here, it's job done. And it's a bigger price as well. And I just don't see Arsenal winning three games against Liverpool, Borussia Dortmund and Man United away. They're not that good. I can't see them winning. Draw for me.
I tell you what looks a good bet. I don't know if you do. I don't know whether you do those sort of bets. Do you do anything? You know, you have cards and all. Do you do anything on possession?
No, Hills don't. You can get those bets around from different bookmakers.
Looking at the two teams, it's a safe bet. Arsenal, they'll have a five-man midfield, won't they? And they'll have lots more ball possession than Man U.
I mean, Ron, Southampton had more possession than Man United a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, because Man United aren't particularly a team that want to pop it about all over the pitch. They want to get it.
Get it to Rooney and Van Persie, and rightly so.
I mean, that's the only reason why you give United a sort of an even money chance, isn't it? Them two,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go for a 2-1 Arsenal.
10-1, nice one. And you're going for, Derek?
Draw for me.
Here's a little quirky stat. Arsenal have only won two of the last 16 Premier League games played in the late slot on Sundays. That excludes the final day of the season when they're all played then. But
the other one.
No reason for that, is there? There can't be a reason for that.
That's an interesting stat.
I know, it's funny though, isn't it? Because with a team like Arsenal, they'll have played some. Obviously, the counter argument is that they will always have played good teams in that 4 o'clock slot, you'd imagine. They tend to be reserved for the big games, don't they?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a little bit misleading, but if that is the case, then it shows that they don't do well against the bigger sides.
That'll be it.
The other one though, don't forget they are now, which probably lends more argument to the draw. They've gone now. This is the 16th away game, isn't it? And they've won 14 and drew one. Of the last six.
It's brilliant, isn't it? What a record.
Yeah. They ain't going to win the league, though. You know what? I've decided, I'm absolutely certain now that Manchester City will win the league.
So, yeah, I had the same feeling this week, actually, Derek. I was going to have a bet on it, actually.
Yeah.
They do look. I don't know what it is about this week, but it just made me think that if they've got. They must have some improvement in them as well.
Massive.
And if they strengthen the defence or they get company fit, then. Yeah. They look very strong, don't they? Still a few question marks about Chelsea, isn't there? We'll come on to them in a minute. One more thing. I know we're dwelling on this game quite a lot, but Ron, I was just going to ask you. Ramsey scored again, of course, in midweek. He's having the season of his life so far. And I know it's early days, and we often jump to kind of snap judgments on players. But if he was to progress and have the full season at this level, is he the biggest improvement season to season it's in my memory. I can't think of another player who's improved so much from one season to the next.
I know what you're saying on that, but don't forget, when he went to Arsenal, he was as valued as Bale was.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Maybe it was so the dip in form has accentuated the fact the rise back to where he maybe should have been anyway.
Dip in form didn't coincide. I mean, it took him a long time to get over that.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
You're right, that's a good point you make there, though, Ron. I remember watching Ramsey 2-3 years ago before his injury for playing for Wales.
Yeah.
And I thought, Jesus, what a player.
I must admit, I did.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he went, didn't he? So perhaps he's just reaching the form he would have done anyway, without that injury.
He started being. When he came back for ages, he became like a helper-on player, didn't he? Continuity, get it and give it sideways or just kept the ball. Now he's driving into the box, he's driving past people, and obviously confidence sky high.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'd be over the age limit for the young player, but he's got to be, he'll be in the frame for the player of the year.
At the moment, he'd be favourite. Yeah. If he stopped it now, he'd be favourite.
Yeah.
72 to score in this game, by the way, which isn't a bad price.
That wouldn't be a bad bet, actually, because no, I'm not sure Fellaini might will be in there, but I'm not sure Manu have got people in midfield that can pick up runners.
That's
a big price, actually. It
does look good, doesn't it? I mean, Giroud's a favourite for Arsenal, 15-8. I mean, even the Man United scorers as well. If you think there's going to be goals in this game, even Money Van Persie, who has scored plenty in this fixture, scored in each of the last four head-to-heads between the two for each club. And don't forget Rooney, 6-4 to score in this game, in great form anyway. And this is his favourite opponent, remember. Scored 10 Premier League goals against them. That's the most he's scored against any opponent. He scored his, he scored his first ever Premier League goal against them. His first Premier League goal for Man United was against Arsenal. And his 100th Premier League goal was against Arsenal. Yeah. He loves Arsenal. He loves playing against them and notching. So I think there's a couple of bets there. You can pair your goal scorers up as well, remember. If you go into the scorers and corners market, you can pair up first goal scorers. So either Van Persie or Giroud to score first, or any time goal scorers. So Van Persie and Giroud to score is 5-1, for instance. So you can look down that list and pair a few more up. Wayne Rooney and Giroud is 13-2 to score in the match. Let's move on to the non-TV games then, shall we? Starting off with Chelsea versus West Brom. 1-4 Chelsea, 5-1 the draw. West Brom are priced up at 9-1.
Derek's.
Yes, we'll see. The mid-table, West Brom. There's been an upturn in form, hasn't there? Chelsea second in the table, 5 points off Arsenal. Got back to winning ways in midweek with a replica score of the away leg at Schalke, scoring 3 goals. Eto getting 2. One of them fairly fortunate, but he didn't half finish it well. For a blocked shot on a keeper. Den Babar getting 1 as well, which was good to see for him. West Brom beat Palace. They lost 4-1 to Liverpool, which they got absolutely battered in that game. But before that, they'd been playing better, Ron, hadn't they, West Brom?
Well, they've been doing all right. Surprised me this year. I thought they'd have a... But I think they've bought relatively well for the level they work at. Sessegnon's been a good signing for them. They go to Old Trafford and win. Where did they go and get a good draw? Was it Anfield?
They got beat by beat there, didn't they? They drew at Fulham, drew at Everton.
Anfield, Suarez could do, but where did they go?
Everton. Everton, was it?
Everton.
Yeah, and Stoke.
Went to one of the big clubs and got...
Arsenal, they drew at home too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, Chelsea, if they've got any pretensions, you'd expect them to see through on this one. By the way, you're only about your stats. What was that stat you came up with? Oh, it was about Arsenal on telly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's two amazing ones, isn't it? About Mourinho at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And their November results.
Chelsea's November results.
Chelsea have very, very, by their own standards, November's the worst month they can have.
Mm, yeah. It's weird, that, isn't it? There's no reason for these kind of things, you wouldn't think, is there?
The way you look at it, I think it'll be a fairly close game.
Yeah.
But you'd have to go for a Chelsea win.
That always reminds me, Rod. Was it Dave Bassett who did that Christmas thing where...
Christmas party in August.
Because it was always better after Christmas. And I think it worked as well, which is even more ludicrous. They've won 12 of 14, Derek, against West Brom.
They never lose at home, do they, under Mourinho? That's another thing, And, and West Brom, the way they performed at Anfield last week, you wonder how on earth they performed the way they did against Man United. It's just a real Jekyll and Hyde team, it seems.
Yeah, when your man's on fire like that, when like Suarez, and that form, he'd rip anybody to pieces.
Yeah, true.
He's got two wonder headers, We all think about Suarez doing them little intricate close dribbles and things like that. He got two unbelievable headers.
He did.
Brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
I think I've got a sneaking feeling, that Chelsea will walk all over West Brom. I just got that feeling about them. I know that you take the Newcastle results and performance out of the equation. Maybe they got the kick up backside they needed because they murdered Schalke. I'm going to go for Chelsea minus 2 goals here, 21-10. I've just got a feeling that they'll just steamroll it.
Another one, another stat that revolves around the time of playing. Chelsea have scored 76 goals in 26 Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs at Stamford Bridge. Where do they get this stuff from? That's just under 3 a game.
I'll just have a little side one. What are their 2-0?
6-1.
Ali?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of Eden Hazard forgetting his passport? He went to watch Lille on Sunday night, couldn't get back for training the next day because he didn't have his passport.
Yeah,
what a clown.
Yeah, so I wonder if that is it. That's wanting to stay behind and have a few with your mates, isn't it?
More than likely, yeah. I mean, it's a good excuse, isn't it?
Yeah. Mourinho was pretty coy about it when he was asked on Sky, wasn't he, afterwards? But he says he'll be back in the team this weekend, so...
Well, he's a tremendous player. He's one of my favourite players, Hazard, but he hasn't done it this season, has he?
Not really.
Once again, I keep bringing this up. Have I missed something with Oscar?
No, you've been anti-Oscar, haven't you? Yeah.
I think he's an okay player. Hey, he's a good player. But at the expense week in and week out of Mata, that's what I don't understand. And I haven't seen Oscar do enough to justify saying, hey, Mata, you and I have got to play well to get past him.
Yeah.
So I don't see him doing that much.
Yeah,
he flits and flits, you know, a little bit, but I don't see him make it. The most dynamic contribution I remember is that he got a goal in Europe, didn't he, when he went in and he whacked a blinding goal in. But I haven't seen enough. And like Will, I am. You know, I don't know.
Stop calling him that. I just get it out of my head and you bring it back up again.
I called him that on telly the other night, you know.
Brilliant.
Great pass from Will I Am.
What did they say? Did they just let you off? Did they pick you up on it?
Everybody said a laugh.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Maybe Oscar could do with a bit of training with the kids. Oscar in the academy? That doesn't quite work, does it? Let's have a look at Aston Villa Cardiff quick. Even money Aston Villa, 12-5 the draw, and Cardiff are 11-4. Aston Villa, league position is 14th with 11 points from their 10 games so far. Cardiff are a point above them after last weekend. That'll give them plenty of confidence. Away form for Cardiff hasn't been great. They did beat Fulham, lost 4-1 to Chelsea, lost 3-2 to West Ham in the Cup. A couple of draws either side of those results. Aston Villa, not so good at home, Derek, to be fair. I mean, this looks like a draw all over, doesn't it?
I'm kind of sneaking fancy for Cardiff.
Have you?
Yeah, right. 11-4, 14-5, I think they are leaving. Look, now I think it's changed. Villa 11-10. I keep saying it all the time. I've said it for a few seasons now. You don't back Villa at home. How often do they win there? One, they've won in five, lost four. Yeah. Four of the five lost. You know.
I tell you, what's interesting, Derek. I was talking to a guy from. It's closely involved with the Villa this week, and talking about that. You know, as I mentioned, which you brought up a lot about the home record. He said, you know, the problem. We try and play at home the way we play away. That's all. I mean, that's successful.
Yeah. You think you'd have a bit more success? I don't understand that. Really.
Once again, prior to last week, Cardiff's result, which must have given them the biggest adrenaline rush and whatever. First bit of good news they've had there for a while. I'd have been all over Villa on this, even bearing in mind the home record. What's the draw price?
The draw is priced up at 21-10, the shortest draw price this weekend.
I don't think Villa will get beat. Mm. But whether they got enough in the locker to win it, I don't know. And Villa, what to win it?
Villa, to win it, a price of 11-10.
The money you said, I thought.
Yeah, 11-10.
11-10. Mm. Yeah, I'd go for a Villa win, I think. I certainly don't think Villa will get beaten.
Yeah. You know, that Villa's result, you know, the last six games, scored in one of those games, haven't they? You know, that was the Manchester City game, 3-2, which was a bigger blip as the West Ham defeating whoever it was, 3-0.
Tottenham.
So ignore that, and Villa could have had six blanks, couldn't they? They could easily have had six blanks, and they're only 11-10 to win at a ground where they very rarely win. It's a criminal price, that one, and I think Cardiff will be. I think I've said many weeks there's a lot more to come from Cardiff, and we saw glimpses of it last week.
I'll tell you, it'll be an interesting one, Derek, because I've got a lot of time for him, and I know people think they made a big mistake when they're wishing him to score.
Right. Yeah.
When he left the Villa, a number of people, good judges, have said they've let one of the best young players go they could at him.
Yeah, he's...
4-1 any time.
Yeah, 4-1.
Yeah, I like the look of that one. Because
he takes free kicks, he takes penalties and whatever.
Yeah, Benteke's dried up a little bit, hasn't he? He's 10-11 to
That's
score.
Big problem. His problem is Benteke.
Yeah, I was looking at some stats about their attacking, and they don't do too well in the box. You know, they don't seem to be able to, you know, that stat about how many touches they have in the box. Fewer touches in the opposition box than any other Premier League side this season, which says quite a lot. I mean, just on Cardiff, very quickly, they've conceded 8 goals in 5 away games. That's the same amount as Man United and fewer than Man City. Man City have conceded 9, of course. So you're right. There is some solidity about Cardiff. They just need to turn it into results.
4 of those came in one game, didn't they?
Yes.
But against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's definitely more to come from him. You know, remember a couple of weeks ago when he drew against Norwich, I mentioned Jordan Mutch as an anytime goal scorer. I think he was 11-2 with Hills, but I got 10-1 with another firm that day. And remember that goalie come out with a worldy save to deny him.
Yeah,
absolutely gutted. He's 11-2 with Hills again this weekend. By the way, I wouldn't put anybody off that one.
No, decent player, isn't he?
Birmingham lad, ex Brummie.
Is he? Well, there you go.
You want to stick one in? Yeah.
Yeah, certainly would. Yeah, Southampton versus Hull next, 8-13. The Saints 13-5 the draw, and the Tigers 5-1. Hull are 10th with 14 points from their 10 games. Southampton 5 points ahead of them in 6th. Two of the surprise teams of the season, in a sense, I guess, because of those league positions. Hull got back on track with a win against Sunderland. It had been a while since they'd won a game as well. And they've all been 1-0, the wins. 3 of them at home. Then they, of course, that away win at Newcastle 3-2. Southampton drew with Stoke last weekend. A crazy goal, of course, from the keeper. Ron predicted the 1-1, but got the goal scorer wrong. I mean, I don't know what he was playing at, not picking out the keeper.
You know nothing, Atkinson.
And Sunderland beat them midweek. They'll want to get back on track here, Ron, won't they, Southampton? But, I mean, you just look at that home form. If you like your stats, 2-0 Bristol City, 2-0 Crystal Palace, 2-0 Swansea, 2-0 Fulham, 2-0 Hull?
Wouldn't put anybody off that. I mean, Hull without Aluko is going to be out now till come February, I've just read. And I think he's very important to them because he gives them that much pace going forward. Yeah.
And that Robbie Brady was playing really well, Ron, wasn't he? He's out again. He's got a hernia problem. He's been out for a few weeks. I think they've missed him as well.
Yeah, I know. I think they can bring Graham back.
And Corran might come back in as well. Robert Corran's back in
But you're finish. Looking at, goal scoring isn't, apart from when they went to Newcastle, they haven't scored a lot of goals, have they? Particularly away from on the road, I don't think. And the way they play, they'll be set up to try and contain Southampton. But I think 2-0, that looks very, very decent.
It's going to be a low scorer there, surely.
Well, you know what? Southampton conceded 1 at home all season. Hull have scored only 1 away all season. Their best scorer, their best player up front is out. They've scored 4, haven't they, Hull? Yeah. I do apologise. Their best main threat is out. And you can get 4-5 for Hull not to score. I mean, that's just a tremendous bad. They ain't going to score here. The best they can hope for is 0-0. Southampton are too short at 8-13 to win, I think. But they probably will win, but I won't be backing them. 4-5 Hull not to score is a certainty.
Yeah, looks good. Only 4 newly promoted sides have conceded fewer goals after 10 games than Hull before. So, that just proves that they're struggling for goals. One of the bet, you can't get it at the minute because the full markets aren't out as we record this, but when the corners markets come out, you can have a handicap bet on the corners. Southampton have won 40 corners at home this season. Only Man City have got a higher amount. That's 41. So on the handicaps, probably have to go quite big on it, but you can see that landing. They'll out corner Hull by a long way.
That's a great bet.
Yeah, it's a nice stat bet, isn't it? Yeah. If you like getting involved in the corners, let's have a look at Crystal Palace Everton, 5-1 Palace. Everton are priced up at 8-13, and the draw price is 13-5. Everton are 7th with 19 points so far from their games, and Crystal Palace, we know, are rock bottom, a point below Sunderland, and it's not getting much easier for them, to be fair. Everton dropped 2 points at home to Tottenham, but that's they've not dropped many this season in the Premier League, to be fair to them. Just that defeat to Man City. Palace just drop points every week, don't they, to be fair, Ron?
They do, and I come back to, I think I said it last week actually, when they went to West Brom. There's got to be a stopping off point sometime. I mean, if Workington were playing in the Premiership, not Workington, Accrington, were playing in the Premiership, You'd think at some given time they'd get a draw, wouldn't you?
I mean, they did beat Sunderland. They have got a result, haven't they, so far? But
that was early on. That was
second home game of the season, yeah.
Yeah, so you go, and they, what have they now gone? Six consecutive games, is it? Let's have a little look.
I think it's seven.
Yeah, seven now, yeah.
Yeah. you keep thinking there's going to be a... There's no logic to say Everton won't beat them. But you keep thinking there's going to be a stopping off point somewhere along the way. It might be this. I think they might get a draw out of Everton on this one, but that's just working on the law of averages rather than logic.
Yes, yeah, I get you, yeah. What do you prefer to work on, Derek?
Yeah, I'm going on instinct here, and I think instinctively Everton are a little bit too short. Yeah, they're not doing much wrong. But 8-13, Everton, I don't really see too many punters piling on that, because the thing about Palace, yeah, they've had terrible results, but I seem to share Ron's opinion. Sooner they're not that bad where they're going to have 38 successive defeats. I mean, the performance against Arsenal a couple of weeks ago when they lost 2-0, I mean, they could easily have got something out of that game, and we're Arsenal steamroller and everybody right now, so there is something there. And on the basis that Everton, I'm going to field against Everton here. I might go for Palace with a one goal start. Which is 5-4. I like the look of that.
Yeah, one little stat bet while we're on about them. Palace have there've been 5 goals from penalties in the last 5 meetings between Crystal Palace and Everton, which is quite convincing. And Selhurst Park has seen 3 goals scored from penalties this season already, and that's more than any other ground. So a penalty to be awarded is available. Not right now, but it will be. And you can also go penalty to be awarded and scored or not scored to get a bit of extra value on it. Liverpool, Fulham 1-4, Liverpool 4-1 the draw, and 14-1 for Fulham. So 4-1 feature highly in these odds for Liverpool versus Fulham. Liverpool be keen to bounce back from defeat to Arsenal back at home, where they've been scoring plenty of goals. Just that 1-0 defeat to Southampton is a bit of a blot on the copy book, but had been scoring goals and scored 7 in the last 2 against Palace and West Brom, with SAS weighing in with goals. Fulham's form isn't particularly great. Their away form is the worst of it as well. Won at Palace 4-1 and scored 3 at Leicester in the Cup, but other than that, they've been struggling for goals. Hard to see anything other than a Liverpool win here, Derek. 1-4. Wow, it's too short for us, isn't it? But I suppose you just go searching for some value.
Well, you know what? I always, when I see Liverpool at 1-4 at Anfield, I always oppose it, because I think, you know, exactly what happens. Teams would go there, shut up shop, and Liverpool traditionally have had trouble breaking them down, blah de blah de blah. That's not the case with Fulham. I mean, because they just can't shut up shop. Isn't it funny that Liverpool have got this SAS partnership up front, and it sounds threatening? Fulham have got B&B. Doesn't it? So appropriate, isn't it? Oh, dear. I mean, Benton Berbatov, you're not going to win games. I'm sorry. You know, and then you've got the other two fellas behind you who never move a muscle either, Ruiz and Tarab. I can't believe what Martin Jol has done with Fulham, because he seemed a decent manager, but he's lost the plot. Liverpool will walk all over Fulham, and you know, it's any score. Liverpool minus 2 goals is 6-4. That's I'm on that all day long.
Yeah. What's Liverpool to win and Suarez to get 2?
You can't have that bet. I mean, you could request it. Suarez to get 2 or more is 9-4. And so Liverpool to win is 1-4. So you'd have to request the bet from the traders room. They don't do that for you.
You couldn't have that.
No, but it'll be, I mean, you know, if you were to request it and they gave you the true price of it, which I'm not suggesting they wouldn't, yeah, you're looking at be about 3-1, that would be, I think.
I want Liverpool to win 4-0.
9-1.
It's a safe bet if he scores 2, they win 4-0, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they did in the lab bloody time. Anyway,
yeah.
Them to win 3-0.
Oh, you can go minus 2 at 6-4. That means a 3-goal victory or more. Minus 3 goals at 18-5.
To get any value out of the game, I'd go Liverpool 4-0.
Right, yeah.
To get any value, if you think Liverpool are going to win, the sort of 1-4 and all that don't interest anybody, does it? But so, yeah, I'd go if they're going to win, they'll win 4-0.
Yeah.
You know, just on the other side of the coin, if you do a fancy Fulham to spring a surprise, the chances are that, you know, the Bulgarian loafer would net. You know, and Berbatov to score and Fulham to win 33-1 instead of the Fulham 14-1. I'm not saying that's a great bet, because it won't happen, but if you're a Fulham fan, there's one for you.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, what would that be? Funnily, when you were saying that earlier, he could score, couldn't he, Ben? What would that be? Would that be any bent to
score in the game? Is
just scoring Fulham to win the same bet, but bent the score
5-1 bent any time. You know what? Even though I write off Fulham,
it's a big price.
They are big prices, aren't they?
Really big.
Off 5-1.
Yeah, I mean you could do that. The best way of playing those, I guess, to get even more value is because we all think Liverpool are going to win. So you just play bent to score in a Liverpool win, and that's 14-1.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, 14-1 for bent to score in a Liverpool win. Which does look tasty. And Berbatov to score in a Liverpool win is the same. So there's a few interesting stats around the goals here. Liverpool love an early goal, and Anfield seen the highest number of goals in the first 15 minutes than anywhere else, 3 of them. So you can bet on a goal in the first 15 minutes, 2-1, not that big a price. Or you can just back goals in the first half. If you scroll down to the goals section, first half goals, you can go for two or more goals in the first half at 6-5, 3 or more in the first half, which Man United did to Fulham, is 15-4. Or what about Suarez and Sturridge to both score in the game? That's 11-8. Skinny, isn't it? Yeah. But it is Fulham, I suppose. One final stat. Just we always kind of say about Fulham's away form. Here's some proof to take with you. Fulham have won 15.5% of their Premier League away games. Of teams to play 100 or more in the Premier League history, only Derby have got a worse record. They won 15%. So the second worst away record in Premier League history when teams have played 100 away games or more.
I can't remember 15 games they've won away from home.
No.
In the last 100.
No.
The
no.
only ones I can remember, probably that 100, that's some 3 seasons. Roy Hodgson would have left by then.
Yeah. Mm.
They're running, didn't they, when they should have gone down. They went to Man City and won 3-2 on Hodgson. Now I think they went to Portsmouth and won. Yeah, he was there for about 5 games or something, and they won about 3 of the last 5 or something away.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
They've won 3 this season. They've won 2 this season away,
yeah.
haven't they?
You know, it's been better. Yeah. Just one final one. We're probably going on a bit too long here, but just one thing that you've been saying, Ron, over recent seasons and more than once this season already, the whole centre-back splitting and playing wide apart and passing it between themselves. This kind of backs up your thoughts on that. Liverpool have made more errors leading to goal attempts than any other side this season. 12 errors they've made, which have led to an attempt on goal or a goal. Just proves that, doesn't it? That can only be because of that. You know, if you're lumping it forward, if you're passing it properly out of defence and not trying to pass it between you, you're not going to make as many errors, are you?
Tell you, the best two centre-halves as a pair I've ever seen in the league, certainly in my time, were Lawrenson and Hansen. As a pair, I thought they were the best two. They passed to each other a lot, but they didn't pass 35-yard square balls to each other.
Yeah.
They were very often like 10, 15 yards. But if anything did happen, they could break it. They could recover from it.
Mm. Yeah.
The other thing they often did, if they wanted to get it to the other centre-half, they passed it into Souness first, who then he knocked it back to the other centre-half.
Mm.
So they took the striker out of the game straight away. Yeah. It does my head in now. I was talking to one of the modern coaches, and I said, well, they said it's the modern game. You get your fullbacks on the line wide. I said, yeah, but I was thought a fullback's position was to defend.
Yeah.
To start with.
Yeah.
Can I just look? I edit this out because it'll bore you. But I've got to be being about. Why don't we just ask Ron about this? You know, when the centre halves get the ball off the keeper or something, Ron.
Yeah.
So they've got to. They can go left. They can go right. Or they can go straight up. They've got 3 options. Every centre half that ever gets the ball rolls it to his fullback, thereby cutting the fullback's options down by 33%.
Oh, don't start me on that. That drives me up the wall. But if we have a little to the fullback on the same side, incidentally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're the right-sided centre-back, you come out and you play about a 10-yard ball only slightly ahead of the right back.
Exactly.
So then that's the easiest position to close down on.
Exactly. Ron, that's the speak of my language. I'm thinking all of that. That's what every centre-half in the Premier League plays his fullback into trouble every week, every game, and nobody says a word about it.
Do you know what I always used to say to the centre-halves? Your first look has always got to be look forward. Look forward into your midfield player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be in there, or if you can't get the ball into him quickly, you get in there quickly with the ball.
Ron, you know, thank God it's not just me. I thought I was a clown thinking this, because every match it happens.
All right, and then, like I said, then if you want to go wide from the central midfield player, at least you're taking the strikers out of the game.
Yeah.
So also, there must be the reason for it must be that they think they can open up, the opposition will follow the ball and they'll create some space, I guess.
No, they think they're playing good football. That's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
They're playing good football. They think all this, you know, let's have possession at the back. Well, sometimes the top side says, hey, have it, I don't give a damn about you having it in there, like, you know. But we'll wait. I mean, he was brilliant at that, Rushy. He did easy to the fullback, and he'd lurk, and it's a bit like Eto did with the goal the other night. I mean, I don't think Eto got enough credit on that, you know. You know the goal in the... Because he saw... Yeah. And then when he went, he didn't half go, you know.
It was a great... It was a funny little run, wasn't it? He kind of arced his run.
He looked, and when the kick...
Very clever.
Back, didn't he?
Yeah, when the keeper had a little look away, didn't he? And he sped up then, didn't he? And the finish was good. I mean, the keeper's hammered that, hasn't he? And he's finished it.
Most impressive thing for me on that was the way he ran. Once he said go, he got there, you know. I mean, it wasn't like, something might happen. You sometimes see people make a token effort.
Yeah.
He'd seen only the ball in, and he went. But that's what Rush used to do. If it went into areas where he knew he was going to threaten, he would go woof. And they used to say he's the best defender. He was Liverpool's best defender often.
Yeah.
But that's getting away. Derek, I've got to be honest. I sit there and I watch. I don't mind when the right centre back has it and then decides to play to the left fullback.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And everybody's loaded one side of the pitch and you change the picture quickly.
Yeah.
But when they play it, I go, am I? Because his next boy's back. He plays to the right back. He either tries to hit a gully ball, which is a fighting ball, or he plays it back to the same centre back who's just had it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. The worst culprit is John Terry, by the way. Watch him then when he plays next. Gets on my
I actually think Rio is a bit. I think Rio does that a lot.
Yeah.
Considering he's got enough ability not to do it.
Yeah.
He's got enough ability to take it into midfield and join.
Yeah. Mm. Well, anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest, Lee. So.
That's fine. That's fine. That's what we're here for.
I go, what has he done there? What has he done, man?
Yeah.
Strange one. Last game of the weekend is Swansea City versus Stoke City. 19-20 Swansea draw, 12-5 Stoke, 3-1. This one's at 4:10 on Sunday, while the Man United Arsenal game's going on. So if you don't fancy that one, then you can listen to this on the radio somewhere, I guess. Swansea's form, as we've has been well documented, isn't anywhere near the form of previous seasons. And add to that the fact that they've just been away to Russia, got a 1-1 draw. You got a feel for them a little bit, because in the first leg against Cuban Krasnodar, they got done by a stoppage time penalty. And in the away game, they got done by a stoppage time goal as well, drawing both 1-1. Stoke will be up for this, Derek, won't they? Because they know if they get in Swansea's faces at the minute with that bit of tiredness, they haven't reacted well to being away from home in the Europa League. The second halves have been, they look like they've wilted. If Stoke go in there full pelt, then they could get a result at Swansea.
Oh, 3-1's a massive break.
It looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, my bet of the weekend, I'll tell you now. They've only lost one in the last four, Stoke. Did you get a lot of stick? But that was against Man United, but he could have easily won that game, remember? Swansea have only won one in their last six, and that was only against Sunderland. You know, and they've got to be tired after that midweek trek to Russia. It's 3-1 Stoke. I think Swansea are there to be taken anyway this season. I think it's a great bet. The away team all day long. Well, incidentally, by the way, that goal, the goal he scored last week, this is one of the reasons I always look upon statistics with a little bit of suspicion. You know, when you see assists and things, the left back for Stoke will get an assist for that, won't he?
Pelaying it back to
the... Yeah, pelaying it back to the keeper. Won't he get an assist? How daft is that?
Brilliant.
Good one, that. Yeah. I like that.
That's great.
So, yeah, Stoke, my bet of the weekend.
I personally don't think Stoke will get beaten for most of the reasons you've said there. Sparky going into Wales as well, you know. There's always little things like that add up. But once again, I don't whether they can win it, I don't know. So I don't think they'll get beat. So I'd be quite content to go for a draw on that.
Let's get a bet of the week from the guys. Last week, none of the three landed. Robbie went Liverpool. Ron went for the 1-1 with Crouch to score first at 55-1. And Derek, we went Chelsea, only team to score. Was it only team to score or only team not to score?
I can't remember. Chelsea to keep a clean sheet, wasn't it?
And they obviously got beat by Newcastle. Where are we going this week, guys?
Stoke for me.
I was going to go the Norwich game for a draw, actually, but I'm going to go. I quite fancy Southampton to win 2-0.
Yeah, that was 6-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think I remember saying.
Yeah.
Robbie goes for the draw in the Arsenal-Manchester United game. So the draw priced up at 5-2. Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers, lads.
I'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Look forward to it. Cheers, Ron.
Cheers, Derek. Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.